and we're going to get started here in just a moment. Before we do, I want to say something to you. Sunday morning, we preached a message on hardened heart and those kinds of things. And I said something during that message that I want to correct. And if I, you know, I say things sometimes and my wife will say, I said something, I said, I didn't say that. And then I will listen. I just, you know, just when you get up here, like I said, and you're looking back there, you know, and you got a gazillion things going through your mind sometimes that don't, all the words that you want to say don't come out. But I was talking about how that Tyler had spoken with someone and that person was concerned about committing the unpardonable sin or blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And I still totally believe and know that I, you know, of course, it's twofold, and this isn't what we're talking about tonight. But one, you really, in retrospect, you can't, it's hard, you can't blaspheme the Holy Spirit in the way that it happened in the Bible, okay? Because that was a situation where they were attributing what Jesus did to devils. They said, well, what you've cast out, you've done this in the power of the devil. And so they were basically saying to Jesus that he had a spirit of the devils, Beelzebub, okay? I do believe that blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is definitely when we continue over and over to say no to God and God convicts us and we continue to reject him and his offer of salvation. I do believe that that is. And then I went on, I made a comment about when an offering plate passes and God prompts you to do something. And what I meant to say, where I meant to go, is at that point you're lying to the Holy Spirit of God, all right? It's not blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, right? I mean, that's not something, don't you understand? I don't want anybody to take that and think, well, you know, if I don't put something on the offering plate, I'm going to lose my salvation. Well, that's not true at all. You can't lose it anyway if you have it. But anyway, what is true is that if the offering plate passes and the Lord prompts you to do something, and maybe even say, for instance, not the offering plate, but somebody comes and they say to you, you know, hey, you know, I need $150 to pay my light bill. Can you help me with that? And you have it, and you know you have it, and God knows you have it, and maybe he's even impressed upon you to help them, but you say, brother, I will, but I don't have it. Well, you've only lied to them, but you've lied to the Holy Spirit, okay? And so that's more of where I was going with that. And so I just want to clear that up, make sure that you understand what was being said there, all right? And so not tithing is not blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, all right? But it is being disobedient to the Lord, right? And so anyway, look with me tonight in chapter 1, and I'm going to start just read one verse, and then we'll get on in to what I want to talk about tonight. If you're there with me, say amen. The Bible says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for everyone that's came out tonight. And Lord, it's our prayer that you would just open our eyes, help us to behold the wondrous things out of your word. Illuminate us, Lord. We need you. Be our teacher. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so tonight we begin part 5 of our series that we've entitled In the Beginning. In the Beginning, all right? We actually covered a lot of ground in our last study. We first took some time last week and we took a look at what's called the day-age theory. The day-age theory. And we saw very clearly that here in Genesis chapter 1, when the Bible speaks of a day, it's talking about a 24-hour period of time. That was very clear as we looked at it last week. And these 6 days of creation, that they weren't separate geological ages of thousands of years in between, right? That's not what it was at all. And so the Bible's clear that the evening and the morning was the first day. The evening and the morning was the second day. Who knows the best commentary on the Bible? Still the Bible. Just let it say what it wants to say, right? We don't have to read a bunch of stuff into it. But I will say this. If you really want to know what the Bible says, you need to consider it all. Okay, and so don't take one thing and take it, run with it, go somewhere out of context with it. Please understand this truth. And we're talking about it. We're going to talk about it a lot during our Bible study methods, a way to study the Bible. I'm teaching that class in this school of the Bible. And one of the things that I'm telling you, we're going to try and nail down, because I've seen it derail too many people, compare Scripture with Scripture, okay? And so I want to compare Scripture with Scripture. So, but here it's very clear. The evening and the morning was the first day, the second day, the third day. And after looking at that briefly last week, we then began to talk about the origin of light. And we noted the distinction between verse number 3 of chapter 1, which of course verse 3 tells us about day 1 of creation. That's what verse 3 is. And we noted the distinction between verse 3, which is day 1 of creation, and verse 14, which is day 4 of creation. In verse 3 of day 1, God made this statement, "Let there be light." But then in verse number 14, day 4 of creation, God said, "Let there be lights," with an S. Now, who remembers the difference in these two statements? What's the difference? What's he talking about in the first one? He says, "Let there be light." Anybody remember the difference in these two statements, Pam? Himself. He is the light of the world, right? And then he said, "Let there be lights." What's he talking about there? The sun, the moon, the stars. All right? And so we made it clear that God don't need the sun in order to have light. And so I think it's already been said, but we could ask, how did the light appear in verse 1 when the sun wasn't created until verse 14? He is the light, right? And so we were able to cover all the way up through the fourth day of creation last week, where there God made the sun, the moon, the stars. In verse 20, we move on to the fifth day of creation. And the Bible tells us there that God made all the sea life or aquatic life as well as flying creatures on day 5. Let's read starting in verse number 20. "And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day." All right? So, now I already showed you last week that God had a particular method to creation, and there was a specific order that God purposely created the different things. There's a specific order, and he purposely created things. Does anybody remember what it was? Breaks down in two main ways. Specific order that God created when he created the earth, way he did creation. Here's what it was. We said last week that God first formed the earth, then he did what? Filled the earth. Formed the earth. Let's look at it again real quick. I was going to have a slide on this, but I didn't. Maybe in the next few weeks we'll start doing some slides that even make it more clear. If you set days 1, 2, and 3 besides the days 4, 5, and 6 of creation, you set them side by side. Day 1 corresponds with day 4. Day 2 corresponds with day 5. Day 3 corresponds with day 6. How does it work? Well, first, you have in day 1, what? Light, right? What corresponds with that in the fourth day is lights. Then in the second day, you have the air. Look at verse 6. Back in verse 6 of chapter 1. "And God said, let there be a firmament," right? Which says just the air space in between the water and the sky, that is. All right, and so that's air, the firmament. And so you have on the second day, verse 6, you have the air. And then verse 20, look what you have. "And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly." You go on down to the latter part of verse 20. "And also the fowl that may fly above the earth." Okay, so you have air. What flies in the air? Fowl, birds, right? Then go down to the third set. You've got land. Verse 9. "And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that's pleasant in the sight." And so God, he had dry ground after he separated the waters. That was chapter 2. Go to verse 9 of chapter 1. "And God said, let the waters under heaven be gathered together in one place, let the dry land appear." So you have land. And then what corresponds with that is land animals, which is the sixth day. And that's verse 24 through 26. "And God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, and the creeping thing, and of course that's land animals and all that, okay, and then all the way down to man. And so you see how they correspond. And so what you have is the forming of the earth that's described in verse number 2. It's without form. It's without form. First 3 days, God's forming the earth. And then it says, not only is it without form in verse number 2, but it says that it's void. And we said last week that word means what? Empty. So then it's without form. God forms the earth. And then God filled the earth because it was empty, all right? So these sea animals that we're looking at in day 5, chapter 1, verse 20, as well as these flying creatures like birds were created to live in the space, watch this, they were created to live in the space that God already prepared for them on day 2 and 3. You understand? He formed the earth, then he put stuff in the earth, okay? He has already prepared this earth, and now he's bringing the birds and the sea animals in to inhabit the earth, all right? On day 2, God created the sky. Look at verse 8 of chapter 1. And God called the firmament heaven. The evening and the morning was the second day. On day 3, God created, and he grouped all the waters together, is what we find. He grouped all the waters together to form the ocean and the sea. It says he separated the waters. And all of it was prepared for these animals that he would create on day 5. Now I want you to think about this. There are countless sea creatures that God's created. I mean, it's unreal how many that there are. If you've ever been to the aquarium, it's amazing to see just all the different organisms and water species that you find just there at the aquarium. And they just have a fraction of what really is there under the ocean. The whales and the sharks and millions of different fish, octopuses and swordfishes and all kinds of different species and organisms, jellyfish and seahorses and turtles and all kinds of other weird looking organisms, and many of them are beautiful to look at. And every single day, new sea life is being discovered. In fact, I read an article that says that it's estimated possibly as much as 91% of sea creatures have yet to be classified. You think about that. 91% up to could be have never been classified. 80% of our ocean is still unexplored. It's never been. 80% of the ocean has never been explored. And what I want you to think about is this. God created all of it in one day. One 24-hour period, day 5. He created all of it. Notice verse 21 with me again. The Bible says, and God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. God created it all in one day. And then God told them to multiply, and that's exactly what they've done and exactly what they're still doing. In fact, in some cases, the sea is being overrun because they've multiplied so well. And you're seeing an increasing number of different sea animals wash up on the shore because of it. Now, I want you to go ahead and move forward to the final day of creation, because what's going to happen is we're going to study all these days again in chapter number 2. What I want you to understand is this. In chapter 1, and I'll say a lot more about it probably next week, but in chapter 1, you get a wide view of creation. When it goes to chapter 2, it just repeats what we've already learned, but it hones in on it, magnifies it, and brings it down, and you start getting a detailed version of creation. Now, the ones that want to discount the Bible want to try and make that a whole different creation, right? And all another geological years and all that. And I'll talk to you more about that. That's not what it is at all. All chapter 2 is elaborating on what you've learned in chapter 1. He tells us that the heaven, you know, that the Lord created the heaven and earth. Well, he tells us more about that creation. He tells us about the light. He tells us all those things about the birds and the animals. We get more details about those things in chapter 2, all right? So we're going to go ahead and move ahead to day 6, because we're going to be studying more about those things as we get into chapter 2. We find day 6 of creation beginning in verse 24. Look with me. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. So, God created all land animals on day six. We see that. Now, this passage that deals with day five and day six, verses 20 through 25, we've read all of it, gives us the account of creation of all the animals, whether they be sea animals or land animals. We're given the account of all animals that have been created through verses 20 and verse 25, all the way through those five or six verses there. And I believe that these verses are the death blow to theistic evolution. In other words, it completely destroys this idea that God started the process by creating an amoeba, creating a frog, creating an ape, and everything evolved from that. The verbiage of the Bible couldn't be more clear. Notice verse 21 again. And God created great whales and every living thing that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly. Watch the phrase, underline it if you underline things, after their kind. After their kind. And every winged fowl, here it is again, after his kind. Then verse 24, and God said, let the earth bring forth living creature. These are land animals now. After, here it is, after his kind. Underline that. Creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And so we see after their kind, after his kind. In other words, there could be changes in the species, okay? Like a dog could produce a coyote or a wolf. There can be changes in the species, but not from one species to another. They never jump species, right? There's no way we come from an ape, we come from a frog. It never jumps species, don't you understand? Scientists have been able to breed fruit flies into thousands of years of generations. And you'll know something? They're still fruit flies. There's never one of them came out a honeybee. There's never one of them came out, you know, a frog. None of them have come out looking like a person. They've literally, for thousands of lifespan generations, they've been able to take them and breed them. And they're still fruit flies. And so we see here in the first part of day six, God created land animals. First part of day six. And once again, we'll say much more about this in chapter two. But I want to get to this last part of day six. It's really what I want to speak to you about today, the creation of man. Look with me at verse 26, our main verse we read. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And so this is where we're going to be the remainder of the time. We will look at verses. Turn with me in your Bibles when we get there, okay? The controversy here always, this verse, is always the us and the our. Let us, God said, let us make man in our image. Who's God talking to? Let us make man in our image. Many believe that he was talking to the angels. We know that the angels were already here. We're told, and we're going to turn some places. Go to Job 38. But Exodus 20 verse 11 says, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, watch the phrase, and all that in them is. In 6 days, that includes the angels. Everything that's in heaven and earth, everything, God made it in 6 days, okay? So, the angels were here. Who was God talking to? And he said, let us make man in our image. We know they were here before the Garden of Eden, angels were, because Lucifer tempted Eve, a fallen angel, right? He tempted Eve in the garden. So they were here during the first part of creation anyway. Job 38, verse 4 through 7. Who's got it? And these verses are going to become very real to you when we get on into chapter 6 of Genesis. All right? And I'm going to help you with them. Who's got these verses? Job 38, verses 4 through 7. Go ahead, Diane. Now, it's obvious this is, he's asking about who was there when I created this world, okay? Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? He's talking about creation. Declare if thou hath understanding, who hath laid the measures thereof. who hath stretched the line upon it, whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened. By the way, that's one of the amazing things about creation. What's the earth fastened on? God hung it on nothing. He says, it was there. But then notice the last verse, verse 7. When the morning stars sang together, who is that? Who is it? It's the angels. The morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Now, I'm going to help you with that verse. That's one of the only times you'll ever see angels referred to as sons of God. And it's not what you're going to hear some people say on Genesis chapter 6. Anyway, the angels were probably created the first or the second day of creation. So was God talking to the angels in chapter 1, verse 26, when he said, let us make man in our image? No, he wouldn't talk to the angels. In verse 27 alone, there are at least two problems with the theory that God's talking to angels. Look at them with me. Verse 27 back in chapter 1. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Who can tell me the two problems with this being angels? They're male and female. Angels are genderless beings. So God created man in his own image. They were created, I just said they were probably created in day one or two. But their angels are genderless beings. It says he created them male and female, right? The other problem is it says God created them in his own image. An angel's not created in the image of God, right? You say, okay, well, maybe he's talking about other gods. Maybe when he says, let us make man in our image, maybe he's talking about multiple gods. Go with me to Isaiah 43:10. Go there with me. And many people that believe in polytheism, they believe that there were other gods involved in this thing. Isaiah 43:10, who's got it? Anyone? Go ahead, Pam. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. So they're not talking to another God. Isaiah 44, go over a page. Isaiah 44, verse 6. Isaiah 44, 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. So God made man, the Bible says, in his own image. So then who is he talking to when he says, let us make man in our image? Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Someone go to Colossians 1:15. 2 Corinthians 4:4, Colossians 1:15. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, and Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Who's got Corinthians 4:4? 2 Corinthians 4:4. Go ahead, Brother Joe.
And whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them.
Now watch this. Let us make man in our image. Notice the verbiage here in 2 Corinthians 4:4. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of what's the word? Christ, who is the image of God. Just those words. Yes, there's a comma in between. Doesn't matter. Just underline those words together, Christ, who is the image of God. Christ, who is the image of God. Let us make man in our image. Christ, who is the image of God. Colossians 1:15, who's got it? I'll read it. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. It's talking about Jesus Christ. If you read that passage, you'll find that out. Who is the image of the invisible God? Let us make man in our image, okay? In Hebrews, the Bible tells us God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also, watch this, he made the worlds, his son, he made the worlds, his son made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express, what's the phrase, and the express image of his person. You think maybe Jesus is one of them he was talking to when he said, let us make man in our image? So, notice it says he's express image. God also says he made the worlds. So it's very clear that Jesus had a part in creation. Nowhere does it ever say an angel had any part in creation. They were part of creation themselves. They were all created sometime during the six-day creation, probably the first or second day. In John 1:1, you should know it, in the beginning. This is talking about creation, you with me? In the beginning was the Word. Who's the Word? Jesus. Verse 14 tells us, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, right? So in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. We've already seen he made the world, Jesus. Without him was not anything made that was made. So we see Christ not only there at creation, but he's there part of creation, part of creating. Said he's the one that made it all. So Genesis 1:26 and 27 again says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So God created man showing the deity of Christ. He's co-eternal, co-equal with God. So certainly part of the us and part of the our here is Jesus Christ. But we know that the Holy Spirit had a part in creation too, don't we? In verse number 1, we read, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In verse number 2, and the earth was without form and void. Notice what it says. And the Spirit of God. See that? And the Spirit of God. So they're all right here at the beginning of creation. You can mark them. Now here's the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Hebrew word for God, by the way, here in Genesis 1:2 and right here at the very first part of creation, is Elohim. It's the title, it's the name given for Creator God, and it's one that really refers to someone who has great power or great strength and great might. But it also has plural tendencies, which means three or more. And so the very word for God in Hebrew here speaks of the Trinity, the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And so I think it's very clear who he's talking to, right? When he said, let us make man in our image, the Trinity, the Godhead. But what was he talking about? When he said, let us make man in our image, what does that mean, our image? You see, just as God is triune, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, he's a triune being, all right? John 10:30 said, I and my Father are one, okay? 1 John 5:7-8 says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Okay? It's not three gods, it's one God who manifests himself in three persons. All right? He said they are one. You may remember a couple years ago, we taught on the Godhead and the Trinity, and I had some slides up here, and I had a circle, and God was in the middle of it. And you had, for instance, Jesus Christ is God, not the Father. God the Father is God, not the Son. The Holy Spirit is God, but he's not the Jesus Christ, or he's not the Father. Three persons, right? One God manifests himself three ways. I sometimes describe it to kids, and because he's God, we can't describe him with an illustration, but to try and wrap some mind around it for kids, children sometimes, I'll say, you know what water is? Well, sure I know what water is. All right? You know what ice is? Sure I know what ice is. You ever seen mama cooking? You seen that steam coming up from the stove? Now, what are all those things? They're all what? H2O. They're water. but they come in three different forms. It's kind of that way. You can look at it that way when it comes to the Lord. So he's triune, he's the three-part being. He's one God, manifests himself in three ways. And just as God is triune being, remember he said, let us make man in our image. And he's made man that same way, a triune being. Body, soul, and spirit. Look with me at Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That one verse, you see, body, soul, and spirit. That one verse, body, soul, and spirit, all right? In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, I'm giving these to you because I'm trying to hurry. You can write it down. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole, watch what he says, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of Jesus Christ. Now, the body refers to this physical being, physical part of who I am, who you are, right? The physical, this vehicle that we walk around in. That's the body. The soul refers to the mind, the emotions. Ultimately, our soul is our personality. It's who we are. But the spirit is the part of us that allows us to connect with God. That's the missing link with everything else in this world. It doesn't have the spirit. You've heard said, and no doubt you've had children ask you, the dog go to heaven. The animals go to heaven, right? And you're going to be kind. You're like, that's not, they all go to hell. No, you're not going to do that, right? And so you're going to reason with them. Well, no, they're animals in heaven. So I tell them, I'm coming back from heaven on a white horse one day. Read your Bible. There are all kind of animals in heaven. Who am I to say? The way I do know this, they don't have a soul. They don't have a spirit. They're two-part beings. They don't have a spirit, all right? You and I do. We're body, soul, and spirit. And the spirit is the part that allows us to connect with God. You see, think about this. After God had created everything else on earth, including the fish of the sea, including the animals upon the land, he still had no one and nothing that he could connect with on an intimate level. So in verse 26, God said, now after I've created all this, look at verse 25, I want you to see the transition. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind and cattle after their kind, every creeping thing upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Then watch this. Then God said, watch this. Now let us make man in our image. Let us make man in our image. After our likeness. In other words, let us make man in a way where we can identify with him. And he can identify and communicate with us as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And so our spirit is the side of us, the part of us that allows us to communicate with God. This is what separates you and I, by the way, from an animal. Your dog, your cat, excuse me, it wasn't made in the image of God. Maybe some of you have seen on the news last night, boy, they're up in arms. I'm talking about they're up in arms. By the way, I'm not promoting chicken fighting or crow fighting or whatever, right? But they're up in arms about it, man, right? These groups have come out, and they called them out in Manorville, probably some assessed people, up there chicken fighting, you know, having chicken fighting wars, all that, right? I'm talking about this guy on the news. Here's what he said, though. Watch this. Here's the hypocrisy. Now, these guys said they wouldn't get themselves, they won't put knives in their hands and get in the rings and fight each other. I wish they would. They just pick it on these little chickens. And he equates the value of a chicken above a value of a man, the life of a man. That's what these twisted groups do. Hey, there's some a part of the PETA. You know what PETA is, right? People eating tasty animal. Right. Y'all with me? Oh, let's wait till this video gets out. Hey, listen. There's part of them that they will. Well, you shoot that dog, I'll shoot you. No, I want you to understand, this is what separates us from animals, is we have something to connect intimately with the holy God, and they don't. They have bodies and souls, but they don't have spirit. I want you to notice with me the difference between how God created animals to the way he created man. Genesis 1:24. And God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind. Okay, he just said, let the earth bring forth, right, and it was so. When God created the animals on earth, the animals in the sea and the sky, he simply spoke them into existence. Let the earth bring forth this living creature. Let the earth bring forth that living creature. When God created those animals on earth, that's all he said. He spoke them into, hey, let it be. Now notice how he made man. Chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the earth, dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Do you see a stark difference in how God created animals versus how he created man? He simply spoke animals into existence, gave them instruction, and simply gave them instinct, and that's all they have. But man was formed by the hand of God. He reached down in the dust of the earth and formed man, and it wasn't until God breathed into man breath of God that man became a living soul. This is a great difference between humans and animals. We were made by God's hand in God's image. The whole reason God made the earth and all the other things, including animals, you know why? All of it. It was for man. Go to Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45. Look at verse 18. Who's got it? Isaiah 45:18. Tyler, go ahead.
For thus saith the Lord that created heaven, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain, he formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none
other. You said, he didn't create this earth in vain. No purpose. No, he had a purpose, but he created it not in vain. But it says what? He formed it. Why? To be inhabited. He made it for me and you. He formed it, and then he filled it. The first 3 days, it was formed the earth. The last 3 days, he filled the earth with plants and animals. And now that it is habitable, he creates man. He's filled it with the plants and the animals and all those things, and now he creates man. I want you to understand, man is the crown of God's creation. Man is the crown of God's creation. He literally saved the best for last. When God made everything prior to man, he simply said, let there be, let there be, let there be. Now he's getting ready for this great masterpiece, and he calls the entire Godhead together, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And he says, let us make man together, pull all our resources together, and let us make man in our image. Man is the only creation that was given this kind of honor. Man was created above all other creation. Therefore, he gave men dominion over all the earth. Listen, man's not some close cousin of an animal or a plant. Neither did we evolve from a blob of matter, but a divine holy God created us in his image, in the image of the Godhead. Not only that, but look at verse 7 again of chapter 2. God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. Now there's a stark difference in how God created everything else and how he created man. Man's life is not the result of evolution, but it is a direct and planned out gift straight from God. Luke 3:38 says this. You may want to turn there and mark this. Luke 3:38. Because this verse is going to be real important in coming days too. Luke 3:38. Who's got it? Luke 3:38. Bible says, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam. We're all the way back to Adam, the beginning of creation, which was the son of what class? The Bible literally calls Adam the son of God. The son of God. The significance is this, in understanding that when we understand man was created in the image of God, it gives far more value to human life. It gives far more value to the sanctity of life. When we take the true act of man being created in the image of God away, human life is no more valuable than a plant. Human life is no more valuable than some animal. If we just evolve, then it's the survival of the fittest, like all the animals, right? if we've just evolved. But God clearly here sets ranks, and he sets man at the top of the ranks, and he gave man dominion over the whole earth. We have value because we were created in the image of God, and God breathed his breath into us. This is what makes the taking of human life so serious. Humanity was created in the image of God. Mankind created in the image of God. You see, this is why the liberals and godless professors don't get it. They have no problem with taking human life. They have no problem with killing babies in the womb all the way up to the day of being born. They have no problem with any of that stuff because they equate no value to that life. And the reason tonight they equate no value to that life is because they consider it just a blob of matter. They consider it just a bunch of molecules that have evolved from thousands of years down the road into being, instead of it being a precious soul that God has breathed his life into. You understand how critical it is, what we're talking about in creation? But we get us getting it right? Because if this Bible's not true, life doesn't really matter. What makes life so sacred? The hand of God forming it, the Spirit of God, we have to connect with him, and the breath of God he breathes into us. And they don't consider that. They just say, well, we just evolved from something anyway, so there's no value in that. They consider that little child in the womb equivalent to an animal instead of a living soul that was made in the image of God. Go to Genesis 9 with me real quick. Genesis 9. In Genesis 9, verse 1, and God blessed Noah and his sons that has come off the ark and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth. The beasts are going to run from us. They're going to dread us. They're going to fear us because God gave us dominion over them. And upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea, into your hand are they delivered. God said, into your hand they're delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Hallelujah for that, right? Every moving thing shall be meat for you. Now, Peter, look, I'm going to tell you something. You have a problem with me, you got a problem with God. Every moving thing shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. Jump down to verse 6. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. You can't kill somebody else and eat them, right? Then he says this, for in the image of God, here's why it's different for them. For in the image of God made he man. You need all the animals you want to eat. But leave man alone. It's sacred because he's made in my image. Take another person's life is to attack the part of creation. Listen, to take another person's life is to attack the part of creation that most resembles God. 127th Psalm, verse 3, the Bible says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. Watch this. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. It's God's reward to man. The fruit of the womb, the baby that he gives a family. It's God's reward to us. Precious life. 139th Psalm, verse 13, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. God's serious about that life when he breathes life into it. Back in our main text, verse 27 of chapter 1. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Those who reject the first few chapters of Genesis, and instead they believe some evolution, must also reject the words of Christ. In Matthew 19, if you'll turn there, you can see what Christ says about it. They reject the account of Genesis, and they reject the words of Christ. Matthew 19, verse 3 through 6. Matthew 19, verse 3 through 6. Bible says, the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said to them, now watch the words, have ye not read? Now I'm going to ask you something. Where do you read it? Where did they read it? What we're fixing to read. Watch this. Have you not read that he which made them from the beginning. Where do they read it then? Read it in Genesis. Jesus says, have you not read, he which made them at the beginning made them male and female. And said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Notice there again, have you not read? From the beginning. He places Jesus Christ, places his seal upon Genesis chapter 1, right here. Right here, he gives us his accreditation and confirms that he agrees with what it says. He's speaking to the Pharisees. He knew they had read it. They could quote it. They could quote this to him. He made them male and female. Notice that. In the beginning, he made them male and female. In the beginning, they weren't amoebas. In the beginning, they weren't gases. In the beginning, they weren't dust. But they were a man and a woman, fully grown and fully functional. In the beginning, you made them male and female, a man and a woman, not some amoeba or some frog or something else. Then he said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, cleave to his wife. They weren't apes, they weren't monkeys, they were humans ready to build a home in society. They weren't genderless. They weren't gender neutral, by the way. You with me? Male and female. They weren't gender neutral. They didn't get to decide down the road. By the way, you better be glad or you wouldn't be here. Listen to me. If your mom and dad believe like what they're teaching most of these kids today, a lot of us wouldn't be here. You get to decide your gender, your whatever. Let me tell you something. Well, a straight screwdriver doesn't work at a Philip Pope. Doesn't work. Male and female. Acts 17, 28, watch this. For in him, Jesus, we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. We're his offspring. Sounds a lot like it lines up to me with Genesis 1, 27, so God created man in his image. We're his offspring. You know what? They would call my children my offspring. Because they came from me. Ultimately, you know, they came from God, but we're his offspring because we were created by him. Want to know why God created man last? So the heretics couldn't say they had a hand in it. Right? Because if we were created the second day, we'd have some way to figure out how we did all of it, right? How we made the sun, the moon, the stars, and all that kind of stuff. I wish I had more time. Hey, it gets even better next week. Any special prayer requests tonight? Any special questions?